Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest today is Vita Andrews, retired Detroit police officer. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and we're not talking politics, but then again, we will be talking a little politics, and we're just talking human interest today. Vita Andrews is originally from Detroit, grew up in Detroit, Michigan, moved down here, I guess, about 13, 14 years ago. Fell in love. Moved down here to South Carolina, actually down there to Savannah Lakes, and has been loving it ever since. Welcome to the show, Vita. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, this is a really interesting story because she was on the police force. In fact, you worked in the police force for how long, Vita?
22 years, actually.
22 years. Wow. I bet you've seen a lot.
I've seen some of everything. A little bit of everything.
Probably a lot of some things. But now, you grew up in Detroit, and that was back in the mid-50s, right?
Yes.
And how was it growing up in Detroit?
Well, for me, it was wonderful. We lived in a mixed community. Very little crime, if any.
Mm-hmm. But it was good. It wasn't, you know, we think about, as time goes on, we think about the riots. What was it, 67, 68, when they had the big riots and everything?
July 1967.
Right. In fact, you had just graduated from high school, right?
That's correct. I graduated that June, riot was in July.
But your community was just a good middle-class community, correct?
That's right.
And what happened up there, Vita? I mean, today we see where they're bulldozing down areas. They don't have people to live in the houses. What do you think happened?
I think the people got lost.
Yeah?
They got lost somehow.
Okay. Because, we've had massive people leaving. Today, like I said, we have things being bulldozed. You graduated in 1967. You were telling me a story about going to a party when the riots had just started. How about tell us about that?
Okay. I grew up on the west side. There was the west side and the east side. My parents didn't allow us to go on the east side. That was the bad neighborhoods, the east side. So we grew up on the west side. A friend of mine was having a party, and it was on the east side, and we went. And it was the night of the riot. On the way, the party was great, no problems. On the way home, we had an automobile accident. We all went to Detroit Receiving Hospital. That was the hospital you went to, and all city people could go. Whether you had health insurance or not, you could go to Detroit Receiving.
So back up on the accident, you had a car hit you from both sides.
A taxi cab hit us from one side and a Thunderbird hit us from the other. They both ran the red light. So we were all thrown out of the car, and we ended up at Detroit Receiving.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, they started bringing the people from the riot in that was hurt, prisoners, everything. It was a disaster zone, something I'll never forget.
Something you'll never forget. Were you scared? I mean, you know, here you were in a hospital there. I guess you had the cops coming in. You had them bringing wounded, injured people.
I was 18, so I don't think I was afraid. It was just I had never experienced or seen anything like that, and it was different. Some people were handcuffed. Those were the prisoners, and they had a section for prisoners at Detroit Receiving. That's where all police personnel took their prisoners if they were hurt. During the time of an arrest or after they were arrested, if they
now
got
hurt.
Now, you
said that's still true today, or it was when you were on the force. They still took people to the same hospital, correct?
Right, and this date, they still do.
They still do. But what did you, as time went on, one of the things that you were telling me is you couldn't understand why they were rioting in their own backyards.
I think it was the time. Most of the people that were involved were teenagers or young adults. They didn't know any better. They riot within the limits of where they lived, right in their own backyard. And it was devastating because they burned down the grocery stores that they had to go to. They burned down the drug stores. Everything that they needed, they destroyed. And Detroit has never recovered from that.
It hasn't. And, of course, you know, what made you decide, you know, here you are, you're 18. Had you already decided that you were going to go to police, become a policeman?
No.
What did you want to be at that time of your life?
Really, a registered nurse.
A registered
That's
nurse.
That's what I grew up thinking I was going to be, was a registered nurse.
Why a registered nurse?
I always wanted to help people.
Always wanted to help people. Now, what turned the tide and made you decide to go to police school?
My brother.
Your brother?
My brother was in law enforcement, and they needed females for the special task to bring in the people that were soliciting on the streets. So they needed females for that position, and my brother thought that I would be good at it.
Did you ever get to be an undercover hooker?
No.
Undercover drug dealer?
No.
Come on, Vito, what did you... No, so what did you do? You went to school.
Graduated high school and went to Mary Grove College, graduated with a BA in criminal justice. In late 1975, they did a mass hiring of police, taking applications anyway, being interviewed. And I put in my application, and the process took until 1977 when I was actually hired on the department.
Wow. Now, did you go to police academy for this?
16 weeks of police training.
Now, you were telling me when you first went in there, they told you some of the things that would happen to fellow people in your class. What type of things did they tell you would happen?
Well, they said, some of you will become alcoholics. Some of you will commit suicide. Some of you that are married will be divorced. Everything they said to us came true in my academy class alone.
Now, what did that say to you as you were going forth here? You were telling me that you kept your two lives very separate.
Well, I made a decision. My decision was I would go to work every day, work with the people that I worked with, but when I left the job, I would leave the job. I didn't socialize. I didn't interact. I kept my life separate.
And you did that the whole time that you were a police officer, right?
My whole career.
How'd that work?
Fine. I got along with everyone. I made my decision, and I lived by it. It worked very well for me.
Except in all the police shows, you always see where they're always interacting and always jumping into bed with each other and always socializing after work and everything.
And that did happen. I saw it with my own two eyes. I did experience that. I just was not involved.
You were not involved. You know, one of my favorite shows used to be Hill Street Blues.
Yes, I enjoyed that, too.
Yeah, that was a good show, wasn't it? That was one of the first shows that showed sex on the air. Yes, there you go. Hey, we're here with Vita Andrews. She now lives in Savannah Lakes and is retired down here, having a great time. I've invited her here to talk about some stories and talk about what's happening there in Detroit. Certainly hope you're going to stay right with us. Hey, if you have a question for Vita, just give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after this word from our sponsors.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest is Vita Andrews, retired Detroit police officer. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're here with Vita Andrews. You know, one of the things we should talk about, Vita, before we get back to talking about the past and what's going on up there in Detroit, is you have an ultimate love of animals. In fact, you work tirelessly for the Humane Society down there in McCormick.
That's correct. I love the animals. Goats.
Goats?
Horses, pigs, whatever. We try to save them all.
You try to save them all. And you guys are working very hard at building a new facility down there in McCormick, aren't you?
That's correct.
In fact, one of the things we up here at Sharp Facets contribute to help you guys raise money to do things.
And what a blessing you are for us. We have 53-plus acres of land that was donated to us, and we're just now clearing a path to get into the land so we can put up a building.
Wow. And I know you've got a whole plan set up on how to get there. You're just keep working the plan, right?
Right.
And it is good that there are people like you that take an interest, because it would be very easy living there in Savannah Lakes just not to worry about it, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be a big help.
Yeah. So that's great. Hey, listen, we just had a call in. Let's see, Billy Joe Morgan, retired transit officer from New York. He said, a level-headed person that was in law enforcement. How refreshing. If you need someone for social projects, what a great resource she could be. Would she like to do bodyguard work? Are you retired, or you want some work, Vita?
I'm really retired.
You're...
The Humane Society in McCormick keeps me pretty busy. I don't want any bodyguard work. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good. Now, when you were up there in Detroit, I presume when you started out, you particularly worked a certain area. Where exactly did you work in Detroit?
We worked the 3rd Precinct. That's down by the bridge to Canada. It's a mostly predominantly Hispanic area, and that's where I worked my entire career up until my retirement date.
Up until your retirement date. Now, I probably when you first started out, I guess you had to work a beat or be on the street there?
It was called patrol. I patrolled the neighborhood in a scout car.
Yeah.
I believe I walked a beat maybe twice during my whole career.
And what did you find about working? You know, one of the things that we're going to get into is about residency and how police officers and firemen used to have to live in the city. Now they've changed that. They're working to change it back. But what did you find about being on that beat day in and day out?
It was an experience. Every day was an adventure. You never knew what you were going to encounter. I said my prayers before I left home, and I said my prayers when I returned home.
Did you feel unsafe?
I had a certain amount of fear. I don't think any police officer anywhere in the United States that was working on a police department did not have a little bit of fear. I think that's only natural.
Yeah.
But when you did your job, you did your job.
Sure. Do you have any, like, an interesting case or cases that you can remember back, you know, when you were doing that patrol?
Nothing. This is not a violent situation. It's a little comical. Serious. There was a 14-year-old Hispanic girl. Her mother didn't speak any English, and she had an 8- or 9-year-old sister that did the translation for the mom. And she kept...
So the daughter spoke English?
Right.
And the mother did not speak anything but Spanish?
That's correct. And she kept calling. I guess we got 3 or 4 runs over there. The 14-year-old daughter kept leaving with an older guy, and the mother kept reporting her missing. Well, on this one particular evening, we went over, and the daughter was there. We had to do a missing return report on the daughter. And the mother and daughter was just arguing, and I tried to intervene and calm the daughter down, but to no avail, she just kept on. So I said, you're not going to talk like that to your mom in front of me. And she said something really ugly, and before I knew it, I hit her in the air against the wall. Well, the mother had never hit her. The mother hit her right in the mouth, busted her mouth.
While
I had her in the air. So we had light blue shirts at that time, and my shirt was covered with blood.
So what was the outcome of that?
That we never got another run over there. That was the last police run that we got. So I guess the daughter did a turnaround. That was a good case.
That was an intervention, I guess we could say.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but, you know, people, and was this a crowded area?
Yes.
I mean,
highly populated. And you had the bridge to Canada, so if you were going to go over to Canada, you had to come through our precinct to get there. So it was pretty basically crowded.
Were there a lot of drugs in that area? Or
I don't believe there was a lot of drugs back then.
Mm-hmm.
There was drugs. We did have a drug problem. But there was a lot of crime, a lot of breaking and entering. That was mostly what we dealt with. during that time.
Now, during this time that you were a police officer, were you married?
No, I was single.
You were single? Did that just work out better, being a police officer, or?
I think so. Being a police officer, especially in the city of Detroit, you had to be able to focus, and you had to focus on what you were doing when you were out there working the streets, because you didn't know who you were going to encounter. So you had to be careful. You had to focus. I'm not saying you couldn't be married, but I wasn't, and it worked out well for me.
Now, you said one of the things that made it nice for you as far as having friends and not having, shall we say, to depend on the people that you work with for your friendship is that you grew up there and you were able to maintain your relationships with your friends.
And I still have lifelong friends that I grew up from grade school on. We still have a close connection.
That's great. Now, you go back to Detroit on a regular basis, is that right?
Quite frequently. Yes, I do.
And what do you see in Detroit now versus that nice community, middle-class community that you grew up with back in the mid-50s, early 60s?
Very devastating. It's sad. The city itself is filthy. It's just it's a horrible experience every time I go back. But I do have family. I have a sister that lives there, so I go back frequently, but I don't like it. I would never consider moving back to Detroit.
That's sad, isn't it, for a place that you grew up and you love so much?
It's very sad.
What do you think brought it to this situation, Vita?
Well, I think residency had a big part in it. When I applied for the job, you had to live within the city limits, police and firefighters. In early 1998, the residency policy was put in play, and you could move outside the city and still have your job. Well, I would say over 90% of Detroit police officers and firefighters moved outside the city limits, and that created a problem.
Well, number one, you don't have a vested interest inside your community because that's not really your community anymore, is it?
That's correct. Because on my block alone, I had about 9-10 police officers living in a 2-block area.
And that would make it safe, I would presume, or a whole lot safer anyway.
That's true.
And, of course, when there is something reassuring about knowing that 2 doors down or 5 doors down is a police officer that would be there.
You didn't have that fear. You felt very confident that your place was going to be intact when you got home.
Now, one of the things you were telling me is that now they're trying to get the police officers and the firemen to move back into Detroit. How are they trying to do that, Vita?
Well, it's my understanding the mayor has imposed that you can move back into the city and pay $1,000 for a home. You wouldn't have a mortgage, and you could live there. It would be your home for $1,000. It's not working out too well right now. I don't know what's going to happen in the near future, but right now it's not looking very positive.
Well, I know they're talking about, in large areas of Detroit, they're talking about just bulldozing it down, aren't they? Just talking about that because they can't cover the area because they don't even have enough services to cover it.
That's true. The city help has declined. They don't have enough workers. It's just a downhill battle now. It's going to take a miracle to get Detroit back where it was. I don't know if it'll ever get where it was, but it's going to take a long road to get it back halfway there.
Yeah. We just had a call from, James Saposa. I believe I'm saying that right. He is from District 3. She was in the best Spanish food area of Detroit. Did you like the Spanish food there?
Delicious.
He said a very difficult area to live, but great area for fun and great area till the gangs came in. And he says you had to be a diplomat to succeed there.
We had the best Mexican restaurants in that area. We had the Mexican Village, Xochimilco, were the two highest restaurants in Detroit. People came from all over, the suburbs and everywhere, just to eat at those two restaurants. And they're still there.
And they're still there.
That's the only thing that's left there, but they're still there.
And do you go back there when you go? Do you
Every
go to eat?
Every time I go back, I go to the restaurant.
And it's still as good?
It's still just as good as it was before.
Now, that's amazing, because so many times, so many of these restaurants go through periods where they're good, then somebody else takes over, and, of course, it's not as good.
As far as I can tell, they're still family-owned.
Still family-owned. That's terrific. Hey, I'm here with Vita Andrews. She was an investigator for the Detroit Police Department, spent 22 years there. She now lives here in Savannah Lakes. We're talking about Detroit. We're talking about life experience. We're just talking here. So why don't you stay right with us right here on WLMA. We're going to hear South Carolina news, a word from our sponsors. And if you have a question, don't hesitate to call 229-7984. That's 229-7984. News is up.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk Radio Station.
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner, your host Ann Ella. Our special guest today is Vita Andrews, retired from Detroit Police Department. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Shark Facets Gallery. We're talking to Vita Andrews. She was an investigator for the Detroit Police Department, grew up in Detroit, and now lives here in Savannah Lakes. But we just had a call from Beth Simpson. She says, it sounds too good to be true, 53 acres for the Humane Society. Will you be taking on large animals? There literally is no place in the upstate for large animals.
Beth, I don't think so. We have the 53 acres, but we don't have the revenue to build on it. We're going to put up a 40 by 60 steel building that was donated to us by a friend of mine in Detroit, Michigan. She worked for the city. She worked as a civilian, and she was the secretary. And when I moved here, her family, she has a lot of family in Anderson, and she had a steel building that she was going to put a church in, and they didn't use it. Brand new building, so we're putting that up. We're in process of getting that put up right now. But we don't have the facility to house large animals. We're not a refuge. We're just getting dogs and cats in for right now.
And that's a big problem. I mean, over in McCormick, it's a big problem over there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we get no support at all from the county. No revenue is coming in. All the money that we collect, we raise ourselves. We're all volunteer. We don't get paid. We're a nonprofit. We accept all donations.
So that's pretty amazing right there, Vita. So unfortunately, I think the only big animal place I know is there is a farm over here where they do take the bigger animals, but I know that I don't remember the name of it right off the bat, but I know he's having a tough time. Just being able to feed the animals is an awesome responsibility and expensive.
A lady died that lived outside of McCormick, and she had over 100 goats. And I don't know if you recall or do you remember, a couple of years ago, we were on TV talking about this, and we contacted several goat rescues, and they came and got the goats from her place.
Wow. Okay.
So we do try to find a place for them. We just don't have the facility to do it.
Right. Well, you also, what do you do about spay and neuter? Do you have that?
That's our biggest thing. We will spay and neuter your animals. Since we started this organization in 2000, you don't see nearly the amount of animals that you used to see. We've already spayed and neutered over 500 animals since our existence. So, and we do get grant money in. It's not a whole lot, but the grants are for the spay-neuter. So get your animals spayed and neutered. That would be a big help.
Certainly would. All right. Well, listen, we were just talking with Vita about Detroit and the police department. We've had some calls about the good food in the district that you worked in. You said those restaurants that you go to are still up there.
They're still there, and they're still family-owned. Every time I'm back in Detroit, I go to them, and the food is just delicious.
And you said the kids that were little kids now are now running the place.
They're running the show now. It's staying in the family.
Staying in the family. Now, how is that area where you're talking about, where you patrolled?
Total destruction.
total destruction.
No homes in the immediate area. The homes that are there are vacant. It's very devastating. When you go back and you look around and you knew that you did patrol in that area and all the homes, and now you go, you don't see anything, it's very devastating.
So what will become of that area?
I want to say that they're going to build condos. They're going to rebuild and put condos up and hopefully get the people outside the city to come back into the city.
Now, you were telling me, of course, they have the stadium, the baseball stadium, and then they have the hockey.
They have a new hockey arena. They have a new baseball stadium, and they have casinos. Detroit now has casino gambling. So you have the big MGM hotel there. You have Greektown hotels there. So it's beautiful if you go. You just have to stay within the downtown area.
It's kind of like one of the movies from the past where it's like one area is okay and then the rest is just a mess.
Because of the casino gambling and everything, there's heavy patrol. So you can go there and feel pretty safe. You can go to a Tigers game and feel really safe.
Okay. So, but now you were telling me that you were thinking that some of the people from the outside will start buying up the properties there.
I think that the people that live outside the city will be coming back. And I'm talking about the entrepreneurs, the people with the money. They're building up downtown. The homes are going to be beautiful. I think they will come back. And that's just saying the downtown area. I'm not talking about the other parts of the city.
Now, what about Motown? You grew up there in the mid-60s. That's when things were really happening, wasn't it?
And that was the fun.
That was the fun?
That was the fun time. My sister, in fact, my oldest sister, worked for Motown. So I got to meet Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I met the Temptations. I met Diana Ross. In fact, I patrolled the Brewster Projects where Diana Ross and Florence Ballard and Mary Wilson grew up.
Wow. Well, you know, she was just here. Diana Ross was just here at the Peace Center, I do believe, a couple of weeks ago.
That's great. I wish her all the best.
You wish her all the best. But how was it as far as, you know, because people were being discovered, Motown was the place. How was that?
It was wonderful. Stevie Wonder lived right around the corner from me. I grew up with him living right.
So you knew Stevie Wonder?
Right. It was just a wonderful time back then. Motown is still there. It's a museum. And people come into the city just to see where Motown stood.
Now, is it a little built? It was a house, wasn't it?
It was a house.
I think I just saw a special on this on South Carolina. So, but
that's correct.
It's not that big.
No, but it's got a lot in it.
It's got a lot in it.
A little building with a lot going on.
So did you ever, as you met these people, okay, Diana Ross, Stevie Wonder, these people that you grew up with, did you ever think, oh, my God, you're going to be famous someday?
I would like to think I was, but it didn't happen, not in that capacity.
Well, how was Stevie Wonder as a kid?
Wonderful, wonderful. His mom did everything for him. He was legally blind, but it didn't stop him from doing anything he wanted to do.
So he went to school with y'all and everything?
No, he went to a private school.
Went to a private school?
For the hearing blind. And impaired and the blind.
Yeah, okay. All right. So any interesting stories you're willing to share with us about any of the stars that you met?
No, I just knew them as fun. They had a Motown review every year at the Fisher Building that I went to every year. It was just fun times. I don't have anything to tell? No.
Who would you like to see if you could see any of these performers today? Because, you know, sometimes you see these performers and you go, why didn't you quit a long time ago? Here they are. They're old and they're looking kind of craggy. And you say, I don't think that's what you used to look like. And then your image of them is destroyed. Who would you like to see today, Vita?
Aretha Franklin was top notch in her time. She's going through a rough time now with health problems. But I wish her a speedy recovery, and I would love to go and see a show that she's in.
Yeah, I bet that would be pretty interesting. Hey, if you've got a question for Vita, give us a call, 229-7984. We're talking Detroit. We're talking life in the 60s. We're talking about right now. We're just sitting here talking. I hope if you've got a question, you'll give us a call. 229-7984.
My cycle humps, ready to...
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
You're here with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Our special guest is Vita Andrews, retired from Detroit Police Department. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are talking with Vita. We've been having a good time talking about the past, talking about her growing up in Detroit. Jan Clark called, said her dad had a pawn shop and sold musical instruments. And she said, Detroit in the 1960s would where you would want to be if you were Canadian. Canadians were always overbuying. She said the jobs in Detroit were easy to find. People had money in their pockets. The neighborhoods were vibrant. And as that's what you've been saying. You know, you grew up in a good neighborhood in Detroit. But she asked, what areas do you think will come back first?
I think, Jan, that downtown would prosper most of all because of the casinos now and the new Tiger Stadium. I think that probably they've already started construction on numerous condos there, so they are making a way. But it's got to start from downtown and work its way back into the city.
How is it, though, going into the city, though? I mean, do you go through bad areas where it's just devastation?
In order to get to downtown, you got to go through the bad areas. There's no other way to get there.
They don't have a golden road there for you to drive into Detroit.
Absolutely not. You're going to see the bad part before you see the good part.
Yeah. So, and I would guess that the casinos are bringing in lots of tax dollars.
Yeah, and probably more the people that can't afford to gamble are in there gambling.
Right.
The ones that shouldn't be there are probably there more than the people that can actually afford to gamble.
So
they're taking their last dollar trying to make it worth more.
Sure, make themselves get out of a jam, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's the common idea. So do you have any contact with people back there that are still in law enforcement?
Yes, I do. I still have friends that have 30-plus years that are still working every day, ready to retire.
What do they say about Detroit, Vita?
That they don't think it'll ever recover. They're not positive. The crime rate has escalated. There's a murder every day. There's over 75,000 structures condemned.
That means you got to have people that are living in them, squatters, you know, homeless people are probably taking up those places.
And there's a new program on Secret Millionaire, and the guy that just went to Detroit and did his Secret Millionaire show this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So he did go back and give to the community. One was to a guy that has a dialysis business. The people that can't get back and forth, he bought them a new van so he can transport them. So you do see people helping. It's just not enough. They need more.
You know, I think Detroit could actually be a microcosm of our country.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at what's been happening in Wisconsin and Ohio and these type of things, Detroit is already, they're already ahead of the curve, shall we say. They're experiencing it and have been experiencing it.
And Detroit at one time was the thriving capital. I mean, that was the hub for automobile industry. And with the different automobile companies' bankruptcy, it's just taken away.
But a lot of these companies have come back, though. I mean, Ford is coming back. GM is coming back.
Bigger
what
than
effect,
ever.
What effect is that having on Detroit since they did put so much money? Our U.S. government, you and I, put in to Detroit, to the car companies.
Well, I think there's still a lot of people working for the automobile industries. Those that was in jeopardy are not in jeopardy anymore, and they're still working. I think for the long haul, it'll be successful, but Detroit has so much they have to do in order to get back halfway where they were.
Sure. So it's going to be a work in progress, I guess we could say that. And, of course, we wish them the best. And I know when you go back there, you'd like to see your old hometown doing much better.
I sure would. It would be great.
It would be. And, of course, you still have family up there.
Yes, I have a sister there. And I have a cousin on March 4th turned 101.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have a 90-year-old aunt there, so I still have family there.
Still have family there. So, you know, now you were living, I guess, you retired from the police force up there. You were living up there. Now, how did you get all the way down here? Because you weren't married at that point, and now you're married. How did this happen?
Well, my husband is also retired Detroit police. He retired as an inspector. He was over the 36th District Court. And the development that we live in, Savannah Lakes Village, the developer was Cooper. Cooper came to Detroit and came to Detroit police and firefighters and teachers and asked to come down and stay for three or four days and see how you like it.
Kind of a condo promotion type thing. Come down and see what we've got.
Right. And my husband played golf, so that was the ideal thing for him to come here, and he fell in love and came. It's a tragic story to him being here. During the process of building, his wife had an aneurysm and she passed. She didn't survive it. And he continued on and he came. And when he started to want a date, he was having trouble trying to find somebody that he really wanted to be compatible with.
I guess a Detroit person would like a Detroit person, right?
Yeah. And a mutual friend got us together. And I came down strictly on babysitting his dog. He had a Cocker Spaniel.
A likely story, Vita, but we'll go with it. Go ahead, tell us more.
But that's a true story. When he first asked me to come down, he asked me would I come and babysit the dog. And I'm still coming back and forth babysitting this dog, and then we developed.
That went on for a year, didn't it? You came back and forth every time he went on a golf trip or something?
Yep.
He didn't stay. He left you with the dog.
That's correct.
So you were having this great relationship with the dog.
That's correct.
But not much with him.
No. Not at that time.
And then what happened?
Well, he decided he wanted to take it further, and we started dating, and here I am 13 years later. I'm here.
Now, you said he kind of tried to give you an ultimatum, that he wanted to take it to the next level, but as a policeman, that bothered you?
Well, I felt a little intimidated. I thought that he was pushing it a little bit, but we got past that. And
you started dating then, right?
We started dating.
Yes. So, and it's been a good thing.
Very good.
Now, how can somebody who's lived in the hustle and bustle of Detroit come down here to Savannah Lakes with all the peace and quiet? I've known plenty of people from Savannah Lakes, particularly women, who have said, I can't stand the peace and quiet. I understand if you're a golfer. Are you a golfer?
No.
No. Okay. So how have you found it?
Well, it's very rural, very dark. No streetlights. I'm used to streetlights. But it's very peaceful and calm. And after being on the police department for over 20 years, I needed that peace and calm about me. And I have it here. I feel safe. I can leave my home. I can leave for a month and come back, and my home is still intact. You can't do that in Detroit anymore. So for that reason alone, I feel very secure here. I'm very happy.
So do you ever think back about that you want to get back to more hustle and bustle, though?
Yeah, every now and then. We just got back from a cruise. We went on a 7-day cruise, and we left out of Charleston. Atlanta's right 2.5 hours away. If I want to go to the hustle and bustle, then I'll go to Atlanta or some other place. We go to Vegas a lot, so we're always gone. We're gone a lot.
So Savannah Lakes is an excellent place to live. Now, how many people that were in law enforcement of some type actually live down there in Savannah Lakes?
There's 9 Detroit retired police living in Savannah Lakes. There's a couple of FBI guys living there, New York police, Washington, D.C. I would say there's over 40 police officers living right in Savannah Lakes right now that are retired.
Do y'all ever get together and swap stories?
No.
Oh, I remember the day.
We do occasionally, not very often, but we have gotten together and talked about the different departments.
Yeah. I imagine that when you get together that you look at the situation. Are there things that as you're looking at the state our country's in, Vita, that you think should change as far as, I don't know, law enforcement and what they're doing, not only in Detroit, but across the country?
Well, overall, I think they're all doing the best they can. In Detroit, I think there's a breakdown. It's not like it was when I got on the police department. I think things have changed considerably. So I'd like to see Detroit bring back the old Detroit police department.
What was the old Detroit police department?
When I got on the police department, you had to have a high school diploma. You had to have at least an associate's degree. You had to have excellent credit. You couldn't have any tickets or arrest violations. They came into your neighborhood and interviewed you. If a neighbor said something negative, you couldn't get on the job. That's not the case now.
You're right. I think I was watching O'Reilly last night, and they were talking about some police force. I can't remember whether it was Connecticut's or whatever, where they keep lowering the standards, and that you used to have at least a D to pass a test to become this. And now that they've said an F is okay.
Because they need the manpower. They're in such demand. And I mean, it's sad, but in order to get the police, they have to lower the standards.
So long term, that doesn't bode well, does it?
No, because you're not getting quality.
And if anything, we need to uplift our organization so that we can have the quality so we don't have situations that develop that bring us down.
That's true. They're going to have to go back to the higher standards.
That's right. Well, listen, you know what? I certainly have enjoyed having you here today. This has been all about looking back and then again looking forward. And I know that when you came here today, you were a little apprehensive, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
But it's been fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
That's right.
Thank you, Ann, for having me.
Well, I am so glad you came on. Vita Andrews, she does live in Savannah Lake. She works tirelessly on the Humane Society, and she came up here and shared her life as a Detroit Police Department. Thank you very much, Vita.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. You know what station you're listening to. We'll be doing a podcast of this. If you'd like to share this, we'll let you know. It'll be up in the next day or so. But this is Vita Andrews, was here today with me. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, this is WLMA right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.